that parents reunited. If they're able to be reunited, they're going to have to face a second separation.
We're going to continue to follow this next week. Thank you very much, Democracy Now!'s Renee Feltz. We'll link to your piece at The Nation. That does it for this broadcast. Happy birthday to Karl Marxer, Democracy Now!, produced by an amazing group of people. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
This is KBOO Portland. Coming up next on Positively Revolting, guest host Lisa Loving welcomes the Portland Parents Union, who are pushing back against school push-out.
Hello, KBOO members. Thank you for being a part of our amazing community. It takes all of us to manage this great community resource, and the role played by the KBOO Board of Directors is essential. Here is an opportunity for you to join the KBOO Board and become part of the team that is guiding our daily work and representing the interests and visions of all our members. Please consider applying to become a KBOO Board member if you want to help serve our community and put your gifts and talents to good use. There is a time commitment of about 15 hours a month for all board members, and you must be a KBOO member. To apply, go to kboo.fm and fill out an application, or stop by the station to pick up a paper copy. The deadline to apply is July 20th, 2018. We are looking for folks who love KBOO, who are committed to our community, and want to carry forward KBOO's values of peace, justice, democracy, human rights, multiculturalism, environmentalism, freedom of expression, and social change. KBOO needs you. Apply today.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor an afternoon with Wahyu and Friends Saturday, July 14th from 2 to 5 p.m. in Lake Oswego. Gamelan Wahyu are hosting a fundraising event to help members study abroad in Bali during the summer of 2019. Performers include Agents of Echo, Dolphin Midwives, and Gamelan Wahyu. Refreshments will be provided. Again, that's an afternoon with Wahyu and Friends, Saturday, July 14th from 2 to 5 p.m. at 3548 Lakeview Boulevard in Lake Oswego. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO programming is made possible by KBOO listener members and support from Oregon Zoo Summer Concerts, presenting the return of Bella Fleck and the Flecktones with David Grisman Trio and the Jerry Douglas Band, Saturday, July 14th at the Oregon Zoo Amphitheater. Tickets and more information are available at zooconcerts.com.
What would you have instead?
This is it.
It's 8:02 a.m. You are listening to KBOO Portland. This is Positively Revolting Talk Radio. Sitting in for Ani this morning, I'm Lisa Loving. Our guest is Sheila Warren of the Portland Parents Union. They have a Trust Circle event coming up in August. We want to talk about how you can plug into that, and also restorative justice. What is it and how is it used? Sheila, welcome. Thank you for being here.
You're welcome.
Tell us about your work. What does the Portland Parents Union do?
Well, we call ourselves an advocacy group. We call ourselves connectors. We started out advocating for families, especially families who are being pushed out of school, expelled, suspended. When we first started, it was necessary. I was having a lot of times when groups start, it's because the people who start them have their own experience, not so good. And so we started it in 2009 over some controversy with the school, who was marginalizing myself and my family. And so we started from there. When we got started, we were probably the first parent union in the country. I saw one that was trying to develop also, and when we developed, we got calls from New York and Connecticut and those places to see how to start a parent union. And the advice that we gave folks from New York, especially, or Chicago, was you guys are probably already doing the work. Just call yourself parent union. And that's how it works. And so that's how we got started. We joined a group, a national group called Dignity in Schools.
I was going to ask
yes,
you that too.
As our mother, as our support group. They do a lot of groundwork, footwork, federal work for us who are on the ground doing the work. And they are, it's a coalition made up of 101 of us groups all over the country. And this coalition is sponsored by a group called NESRI, which is works on human rights all over the world. And they're the ones that support us and sponsor us. And Dignity Schools is like our sister. They maintain and make sure that we have funding. They make sure that we have clerical support. Like we will have, Dignity Schools will be flying in when we have this event to help us with our clerical support. And we, they will bring in two or three parents that will help us to support this. So that's how they support us. It's they're concerned about the on the ground work. So they try to do, they want to do everything to make sure that we are supported on the ground. On the ground work helps to drive the national work in Dignity Schools. So we're a coalition, we're a program. Dignity Schools is a program.
Now, if you just tuned in, yes, this is Positively Revolting Talk Radio. I'm Lisa. I'm sitting in for Ani. We're talking with Sheila Washington Warren about this incredible movement that she and her family were in on the ground level. And I want to drill into that because for people who are listening during this hour, I want you to walk away with some ideas in your head about how to organize your own community or how to join a movement, right? Because my friend Jamila Bordone, who for a long time was a producer here at KBOO, she would always be here saying, if you're not working with others, then you're not really organizing. So Sheila, when you say that your family experienced school pushout or experienced something at the schools, let's drill into what does that mean? What is school pushout? And I know too that you've had stuff happen to your family for years.
Yes.
So and you've been in this position to try to push back. So what do we mean when we say school pushout, and how does it impact families and all the rest of us too?
Yes. Okay. So the word pushout is a coined phrase that came from the parents and families from Dignity in School. And so everybody is using it now. And push out just means creating an environment where kids can't learn, or their racism, they're supported, they're not supported, they're marginalized, they're not looked at as children. I'm talking about black kids, and especially black boys. And so the system is doing everything to make sure that child fails. And so what they do is sometimes drop out of school. Our kids are being suspended and expelled a lot. That's push out. Dropping out is push out. Sometimes we've been in meetings where parents just the system absolutely doesn't want a child that has huge behaviors in their school, and they claim they don't have the environment to support the kids, and they really do. But it's just all kinds of things. A lot of times it's just because people don't know what to do. There's all kinds of isms going on in the system, and so these isms will push families out. Families will drop, kids will drop out, you know, especially when they start getting to the ninth grade, high school. They will drop out because they've never been
nurtured, made welcome,
edified as, you know, as a... our children, when they start kindergarten, is when it starts the profiling. And so these children are profiled. And they're alone because sometimes the families are embarrassed. And a lot of, you can talk to families in that same school, and they don't even know this is happening because it hasn't happened to their children. And so sometimes the families are alone in this. And one of the things that we have to do as a group is we have to know the law to go in there and say, okay, you've violated this law, you've violated this and that. But push out simply means that a child is not being supported as they need to be in the school system. So, and they're expelled, suspended a lot. I've had people say when I've been interviewed before, if a child is bad, how they need to be expelled or suspended. Well, that's the children. When we talk about children, we're talking about children of color, and they're children, and they don't behave any different than a white child. but yet they are, you know, punished differently. And that's the push out.
There's a lot of research on that too. If you're listening right now and your child has experienced, your family has experienced school push out, if you're active with the Portland Parents Union, we'd love to hear your story. Give us a call. We are at 503-231-8187. Give us a call with your family story of school push out. I want to jump in here with a couple of anecdotes that I covered as a journalist. There's this amazing mom with a little boy who's just as cute as a button, and the kid has behavioral problems, and he has been getting services at OHSU, getting services for his behavioral issues. Mm-hmm. But at the school, starting from the time I think he was in kindergarten, he was the first time that he was expelled, suspended. Yes. We didn't even know that you could be suspended when you were in preschool or whatever. Right. It turns out that I feel as if it was Yale University, maybe 12 years ago, 10 years ago, did a great big research study on preschoolers and kindergartners who are expelled and suspended in school. Oregon is a major offender in that.
Yes.
And actually, Oregon has some of the worst high school completion rates in the whole country.
Yes.
A few years ago, Oregon actually had the worst high school completion rate for white students. There's a whole bunch of places where our education system is actually making sure we're dumb and voting stupid, if I could just say that. Is there a caller? It looks like someone was calling. Anyway, 503-231-8187. Now, Sheila, there was another case that I'm thinking of in particular where there was a student at one of the high schools in Portland. I feel that it was Marshall High School. And this person was threatened by another student, and a vice principal came up and put this student in a headlock. Mm-hmm. And people took pictures of it.
Right.
And the school tried to say that this was normal, or that this vice principal hadn't done anything wrong. But this was a police-style chokehold, like killed some people in New York City.
Yes.
And it was documented in a photo. And so I feel as if Portland Parents Union tried to go in there and do some sort of restorative. Now, you get calls from people who have their kids have conflicts with the schools.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do? What is restorative justice? Let's just start there. Let's start with this. When someone calls you and says, "This happened to my kid in school, what can I do?" What do you do?
Well, when they call us, it's the restorative justice or restorative practices didn't work in the school, because they're calling us. Okay. And so there are some schools that don't practice any kind of restorative process with children who are bullying each other or behaving. They're not practicing any kind of restorative process, or if they are, it's minimal, because the system is still trying to figure out how that works within the school, how that works. And so there's still very few schools in this area that have coordinators. And so what the school is doing now is pushing, they're taking that away. They're not contracting restorative justice coordinators anymore. They're centralizing that and getting rid of the equity piece also.
So describe it for us. What is restorative justice, and what is a restorative process?
Yeah, a restorative process is just, it's called, you know, if you have been in a mediation, that's what it is. It's just a mediation between the folks have been impacted. Like if two children were fighting, for instance, the coordinator would bring the two children in and anybody else around, their family, and have dialogue around what happened and who was harmed, who did the harming, and coming up with some kind of agreement rather than punishing the children. They need to be held accountable, yes, but doing it in a human way, and a way of dignity, with the children. So sometimes they sign contracts to say, this is what I'll do from now on sometimes a contract means that we will stay away from each other as kids. Sometimes the families will say, we want them to stay away from each other. But it's just the mediation process where the group agrees on what they will do in the future to not for this to happen again. Now, what goes wrong sometimes is in the system is you will have, kids especially are fighting, then there's the no tolerance. You know, there's a zero tolerance where if you're fighting, you're automatically sent out, even if you're kindergartner, even if you're that. And so what happens is we have I've been in mediation or in schools supporting parents who a five-year-old just started school, And he was excited, and he bit the teacher, you know. And so they just sent him home for five days. 5-year-old. He's just learned. He's in an environment where he hasn't been before. So he's trying to figure out how to protect himself. He doesn't feel like he's safe. But there was a rule in the teachers' union that anybody that does that has automatically a 5-day suspension, even if they're 5 years old and they're just starting kindergarten. Now, that might have changed. I know we've pushed back a lot around that. You know, we have a new teachers' regime and a new union leader who's been there for about a year. So I don't talk to the union as much as I used to. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you just tuned in, I'm Lisa Loving. This is Positively Revolting, and we're talking with Sheila Warren about the Portland Parents Union. They have a big event coming up in August. We're getting up to where we're talking about that event because it's a place where you, who are listening right now, can go take a seat in a movement to actually support kids. I'm putting it like that. Let's just jump right in. Sheila, talk about this event in August. This is the biggest event you've had in a few minutes, I think.
Yeah. A couple years. We've had events in a couple years. The event last year was, we had it on the same day that the Good in the Hood was threatened around, and so most people went to the Good in the Hood instead of coming to our event.
So just to back up with that, last year, Good in the Hood is one of the major events that people celebrate in Northeast Portland. It's considered to be a rooted event in the African-American community, and haters basically threatened to kill people at Good in the Hood last year. So a lot of people went and supported Good, and yet what I hear you saying is, mm-hmm. yeah, and that was totally rightfully, and these are some of the issues that impact what you're mm-hmm. doing. Mm-hmm. So that's what happened last year. Keep going. What are we going to do in August, August 18th?
Well, what we're going to do is, when I started this group, I had a group called People Celebrating People, which started out of when they were closing Jefferson. And we would
Portland
meet.
Public Schools close, has tries to close Jefferson High School about every 7 or 8 years.
Yeah. But go ahead. Yes, they do. So they, there's some of us, there was a group that confronted some of the people at Portland Public Schools around that issue. And so we had new people coming in for Jefferson, a new principal and a new area director. And so the system and the community, the Jefferson community wanted to celebrate them, but they didn't include us, the community, to help them to celebrate a black principal and a black area director. And so I pushed back on them and said, you know, you need to include us around these kind of decisions. And so we met with some of the powers that be at Portland Public Schools and said, no, this is not acceptable. And so during the meeting, we were at Reflections, and during the meeting we had people come in pushing back, trying to even push back on me. So they just wanted to come in and disrupt because they were so mad at PPS. In disrupting, they were disrupting the process that we were doing. And so what I decided to do is say, okay, we're going to meet once a month, and we're going to have we're going to get to know each other in the community and figure out how we can do a better job of getting along. And so we called it People Celebrating People. So we started inviting people from especially the PPS people. We invited them in to say, let's figure out how we can get to know each other. Let's figure out how we can have those conversations. And this was before restorative justice. This was in 2006 that we started this, and we did it for 10 years until we started doing restorative practices, supporting especially Resolution Northwest for doing restorative practices in the system. So that was the piece. So what we've been all about in Portland Parent Union is dialogue. We want to connect. I spent 3 years when I started this group to connect with people all over the country. That's how I found Dignity in Schools and some other programs that we're a part of. And so it was important to me to change up how we approach things. And what was important for me is to have, let's have dialogue. Let's get to know each other and have the dialogue. And I've always, every time we have a meeting, before restorative justice came out, we would meet and talk about how we could get along and support each other. 3 years ago, we decided to do a campaign nationally called Solutions Not Suspension. So we went to the school board and said, we want a moratorium on push out. We are asking for K through 5, you know, that to make it very difficult to push out anybody from K through 5, because most of our families, their kids were K through 5 that were being pushed out.
And that's where it starts.
That were being pushed out. And so when he's talking about school to prison pipeline, you know, and so they agreed, but by that time, a lawyers committee and other folks and we all got together and went to and got a law around K through 5 push out. Trying to think of the lawyer group, but we supported them and went and actually got a law on the books around K through 5 suspension, and the wording makes it very hard for anybody to suspend K through 5 kids.
I had not heard of that. Is that in the state or was that federal?
It's state.
Wow, I'm gonna look.
We
that
2014
up.
Is when it was put in. Now we asked for money also. Money didn't waste no money, so just think about no money. There's no means, no trainings, and folks are still doing what they do because they don't know the law or understand it, or there's no push to make sure that that law is trickling down in the system.
Okay, just to recap, every time I hang out with you, Sheila, there's so much in my head. I have to stop and then count my fingers and toes because there's a lot going on. Okay, so you yourself, you're not a school teacher. Mm-hmm. You're an everyday human being whose family started encountering issues like this years ago, over the years. So you literally stopped and said, no, we're gonna make a program to push back against the schools and try to make it so that they don't push kids out of the classroom, because the real issue with school push-out and dropout rate is the more we push kids, I'm going to say that the Oregonians investigative reporter Betsy Hammond did a groundbreaking report about 5 years ago where she showed that Oregon's dropout rate really has to do with kids not being in class. And it triggered this big thing around truancy. But suspension's a huge part of that for whole communities. So if you start setting up, if the education system sets up systems where they routinely make children not be in a classroom. In-school suspension, by the way, is a thing. And if you want to punish a kid, making them not sit down with a book is maybe not a good idea. I'm just saying, what is punishment? I'm just saying. Anyway,
suspension is suspension.
Yeah, it's suspension
of
everything.
Kids are out of the class.
Right. And so it puts that, it does, when we suspend little kids, it does a whole bunch of stuff that impacts that kid and their whole family forever. And then suddenly they're 17 and they didn't finish school and we're like, wait a minute. Anyway, so you started working on that. The district again tried to push to shut down Jefferson High School, which, as I said, they've tried to do that so many times. And we will talk about Portland Public Schools before the end of this hour, because that's an unstable platform of its own. And then they just shut down. They're just going to shut down De La Salle North Catholic. But we're not in that place yet. You see what I mean? When I start sitting down with Sheila, pretty soon there's all kinds of cans behind my vehicle because there's a lot of stuff going on. So the other thing is, how do you organize communities? So you realized that you needed to talk with the school people, but you couldn't even have a conversation with the schools because there was so much rage and ignorance going on. So you launched another movement just to set the table for an intention to negotiate between communities and schools. And that was people celebrating people. Yes. And then you came back with the restorative justice piece, and you've been with that piece ever since, literally. And we have said restorative justice practices is a kind of mediation. Yes. It's a very specific kind of mediation. I bet there's people out there going, no, I've had a mediation, don't make me do it again.
Yes.
But restorative justice is actually super specific. It's not just any kind of mediation.
Right.
And we can get into that later too. But you've been working for years. This is my point. You have moved a mountain. You have. Locally. And then you reached out and got national allies. You've had meetings of your national allies with what is the organization called again?
Dignity and Schools.
Dignity and Schools, where you guys were even impressed. Here, meeting here, having a business meeting in a local establishment, you guys were discriminated against. So you have, your issues are 1,000 feet deep. They go right to the molten core of the earth. And why I think that this event on August 18th is so remarkable is that in the years since you started, there's so much worse feeling. There's so much worse feeling, even among people who think that we are to the left of center.
Yes.
We don't even like each other anymore. We don't trust each other.
No.
So everything you started to do, just it's like the bottom fell out.
Yes.
So now, okay, listeners, I'm putting this out. Now, I'm old. I actually qualify for the senior citizen meal at Denny's, okay? On my birthday this last time. That made me stop and think about life. And I look around my communities, and some of the people doing the most amazing things are not the people you see on the nightly news or screaming out on Facebook all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're talking about Sheila. We're talking about the parents, Portland Parents Union. Now, this event, Saturday, August 18th, I'm saying this is a watershed. Our Portland school system, we have more people of color running X, Y, and Z, but you cannot say that it is a vehicle that's going anywhere at all.
Right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And we just hired new leadership, as you said.
Yes.
The whole thing seems to be imploding, frankly.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Although there have been movements against, official movements against some of the sexually abusing teachers, which is great. That's just a start. So on August 18th, you're going to run a trust circle by parents and students of various school district and schools. And I want to read from the flyer because this is remarkable, people. And I really want to throw the flashlight, the spotlight on this one. We need your input as to how we can infuse our work by forming a community bond. But Sheila, that's dangerous. You're doing, that's buzzsaw time.
Yes.
Talk about that, a community bond. What's missing? What do we need to forge on Saturday, August 18th?
Well, we're hoping that we're inviting everyone, and we're hoping that they show up. I move, when we do restorative, and I don't use restorative justice, I use restorative practices.
All right.
And the reason I do is because it's more of a philosophy. Restorative justice is good, but it comes out of the prison system and it's good for the school system. But when you're using restorative practices, it includes the whole community. And you can do the circles any kind of way you want. And so we did have a trust circle before when Carol Smith was in with Carol Smith. A huge trust circle with principals and parents and everybody in a circle. And Coin came in, and we ran them out because the parents didn't want them there to record this. Now, people don't know that we did this because it was not secretive, but it was a safe space for parents. And we talked about belonging, and everybody in the whole circle, got to speak about belonging and how would we do that moving forward and the whole thing. So there's been a trust circle before. When we testified at the school boards, some of the board members said, we've never heard of that. No, you haven't, because it's just something that was on our heart or my heart to say, okay, we can call a healing circle anything. So we decided to call it a trust circle for the families who have not trusted PPS or their principals or anybody that is in the school community that has marginalized them pretty bad. So it was very important that that happened. And what's so sad about it, two of the parents that were part of that stress circle, a grandmother and another parent, have passed away from other circumstances because of the stress level. The one passed away because of the stress level. She fought so hard for her child, and whatever was manifesting in her body, just took over. So I'm saying this is a health issue also, a health crisis issue around that. And I wish Leslie Gregory would be a good person to bring on to talk about racism and how it is a mental health process. But so the whole idea for me is I want the world to walk around with, not with a punitive mind, but with a restorative mind. That's my goal, There's whole communities in other countries that are doing this, small towns that are doing restorative work with everything that they do. So it's possible if people are intentional about it or change their hearts and want to understand. But the philosophy is, I'm pretty critical of a lot of people who do the work because it's very spiritual. And you really, when you're in the room, you have to really understand, who's in the room? It's not just a job or a business. It's spiritual, and you need to understand who's in the room. And before you do any kind of healing, you have to build relationships. That's the main thing you have to do. You have to build those relationships before you start hearing their stories or anything. And so that's the piece that we push, is relationships. And so this is about going back to my community who's done the work for years. We've invited these people for years, and they never show up for us because our issues aren't that important. You know, who cares? People know about the suspensions and the expulsions, and they know about push out, and they know about the discipline disparities, but who cares? So what we try to do is say, okay, let's do prevention. Not, you know, by the time when you do intervention, you know, then what happens? The child is already set in prison or on the streets or in a gang. So let's do prevention when a child starts preschool. They're profiled. Our kids, we're talking about police profiling, but the profiling starts when our babies start school, because the teachers don't look like them and their expectations aren't that high. Now, I'm saying we have amazing teachers and good teachers. But imagine a baby, a three-year-old, being handcuffed. Imagine that. And it has happened. Not necessarily here in Portland, and we're talking about all over the country and the crazy things that are going on. But
I know someone who is the child of one of the most respected educators in the Portland metro area. And this person, when he was five, and he was in his kindergarten class, the teacher led him and the Hispanic kid to the corner where there were blocks, and then the teacher started teaching the rest of the kids the yes. reading lesson. If you just tuned in, this is Positively Revolting Talk Radio. I'm Lisa Loving. I'm sitting in for Ani Haynes. We're live today with Sheila Warren from the Portland Parents Union. We're talking about this big event coming up August 18th, where people who are working and have been working for years to advance equity and justice in the, I'm going to say public school system, but we'll say education.
Education.
We'll say
yes.
education. And they're calling on you and me. You know what? I'm going to be there, frankly, on August 18th. So maybe you want to come there and shake my hand or something like that. Mm-hmm. I'm going to lead a workshop there about citizen journalism. But this is what it says from the flyer. We need a community coalition made up of educators, families, students, social workers, government officials, policemen and women, judges, school board members, superintendents, lawyers, and on. There are coalitions and groups, but the most impacted families are not at the table. So it's going to take some courage. You're going to have to, like, maybe step outside your safety zone and be around someone who has a spiritual belief that is not your Marxist intellectualism. I mean, I have to put that out. So let's talk a little bit about what is going on currently with Portland Public Schools. And if you have something to contribute to this conversation, frankly, I love talking with Sheila. I'll talk with Sheila till the top of the hour. But if you want to jump in, the number to call is 503-231-8187. What's your role in a strong public education system? Has your family experienced school pushout? Do you have something to bring to the table? Give us a call, 503-231-8187. This thing about De La Salle, can you describe what happened?
Well, a few years back, if people remember who, because we fought for a lot of things, the enrollment was low, and they did a lot of closing buildings.
Portland Public Schools, yeah.
Yes, and they also did a lot of selling the buildings or leasing them, and they leased this building to De La Salle. Now, and this was at a time when we were talking about Ockley Green being overcrowded and some of the schools being overcrowded. I was livid around them giving it to Catholic. The level of my mindset then was public school, public school, public school, and no other school, no private school, no this or that or the other. And really push back, why would Portland Public Schools sell this, lease this building to a private school, a Catholic school?
De La Salle North Catholic yeah. is what it's called. And we
yes.
can talk about their philosophy in a minute, but keep going.
Yes, yes. And so this was years ago. And so
maybe 15 years ago.
And so we decided, but at the same time, this was a place where kids like we represent can go and do well. We represented a few kids that went there and who are graduate. One's graduating this year, and they did well. They did not do well in Portland Public Schools. They were suspended. They were, people just didn't know the behavior, had behavior issues. people just didn't know what to do with these kids.
Can I just say this, too? I see De La Salle as like a wraparound program. So there's this thing called the De La Salleian educational tradition. I had never heard of it before until De La Salle opened. I encourage people to go look that up because I'm a big separation of church and state person. It's generational in my family that people mm-hmm. feel that way. De La Salle North Catholic, though, I have to say, I feel as if I saw people come from the super progressive arms of the Catholic communities here.
Yes.
People who,
yes.
People like St. Andrew's Catholic communities, that people who created, who gave, sanctuary to Salvadoran immigrant families in mm-hmm. the 80s mm-hmm. and in the 90s. These are some of the people who were setting up De La Salle. And the whole point of De La Salle was people had to apply. They took kids who were at risk. And the point was that they set them up with jobs. Mm-hmm. So they had classes and a job. I feel as if they were white collar jobs in offices.
Yes.
And the students literally were paying part of their tuition, because it's a tuition program, mm-hmm. through doing that.
Yeah.
You know, I feel as if there was another program that was kind of similar that was set up maybe on Alberta Street, where there was another similar program at the time that people tried to create, where students also took care of the school. It's just like literally trying to create more structure for students who seem to, I don't know if it's because students need it, but it's because kids need structure and with a place for their families to be. So that was what was different about De La Salle, I have to say that. The jobs, the wraparound, the family relationships, and that it was just a different sense of what school
yes.
was for. It
yes.
wasn't, I'm going to go till 3 and then I'm going to go to the park and mm-hmm. smoke dope in the mm-hmm. whatever. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so now Portland Public Schools announced last week that they're taking that entire building back from De La
yes.
Salle,
yes.
even though the spokesperson said the district has no plans for the building. Can you just talk about that? What does that mean?
Yeah, well, I think the district does. They're desperate now, so they're trying to find spaces because they're displacing different groups. And I didn't fight for the display. You know, they displaced
whoever,
a tag group, and they've displaced
Access
Pioneer,
Academy,
you know, with the more severe kids with severe disabilities and those kind of things, Pioneer. So they're moving, trying to put people in places, and they don't have the places. And so now you have a point of contention with the families and with everybody who is fighting each other. I mean, you know, some people are trying to be civil, but you see, you know how desperate we get when our kids are being, you know, we're trying to protect our children. And so we become mama and papa bears around that. And so it's my kid, and I don't care about your kid. It's that kind of attitude. Portland Public Schools set that up, you know, pretty bad. And I am pretty critical around that piece, around what they're doing. And so I'm getting emotional. What were you saying?
I get in my emotions too, because my kids were little kids at Sabin Elementary School.
Yes.
My son was a bully magnet back in the 90s.
Yes.
And when I went over there, it was our neighborhood school. We felt strongly about going there. And the principal was a woman of color.
Mm-hmm.
And we wanted to support people there. And as I went there to try to complain, it seemed really obvious that what the principal needed was more parents volunteering
yes.
at the school.
Yes.
But part of what's, I'm curious about, like, I don't know, I'm a journalist and I've been covering school districts like ever since I was a teenager, right? I don't know what is considered to be the model school district. I've never heard of one in America, any of the Americas.
There's not
one. Not even Canada, right?
You know what the model school system is? The model school system is whatever that family chooses how to educate that person. That's the model system.
What the family
You know,
needs.
I came on and said, I'm for anything, any system that will help this child get what they need as far as education, to help them to become the citizen that they need to be. And I have, since the De La Salle thing, and I saw people thriving and doing well, I see the private schools, I see charter schools that our kids are doing well. My granddaughter went to a charter school. She went to Da Vinci, and then there was no high school of arts here, but Milwaukee High School has a high school of arts. And so she went to Milwaukee High School, which people deem as a charter school. Now some of my friends get, well, that's a charter school. My granddaughter thrived in that school. You know, she wouldn't have thrived at Grant, or because she's a creative person. You know, there's a lot of kids that just think out of the box. And so I'm saying this, whatever it takes to educate, a lot of people are pulling their kids out and homeschooling or doing co-op homeschooling. There's all kinds of ways. And so that's the model education piece, or it's not necessarily school, but that's the model school. What are the individual plan for that particular child and that, you know, for that particular family, you know? Yes.
One of the things that strikes me about this as a situation is that, I think I might be like 55 years old. Maybe I'm 40, 54. I don't know. I don't want to count it too closely. When I was a kid in California, that was when Proposition 13 passed, and that was when schools started to get, school systems as a group started to get defunded. And so ever since I was a young teenage human being, I've never been in any kind of educational system, including colleges, that where the main tool of balancing the budget was a machete, right? Mm-hmm. We've never created a popular movement around public education in the United States.
No,
and
not
one thing
at all.
That strikes me is, like, I was marching in the streets when I was a teenager in support of no higher tuition at California State colleges, right? Mm-hmm. But then I finished school, and now I don't go to march in those things, but the students now go and march in them. And this is the same thing with the schools, the elementary schools. It's like, while you're there and your kid is in that school, you will tell off anyone. Mm-hmm. You will attack anyone like a bear. Mm-hmm. But as soon as your kids graduated, it's like, oh my God, what a relief. And you're back to the frozen yogurt shop. I guess I'm talking about me now. Mm-hmm. And then everybody else is backfighting. Like, I still don't understand how we did that. Mm-hmm. Like, and I can totally blame the administrators and all the system and the, how did we let the banking system hijack our entire higher education system? I have no idea, but I remember the first time when college IDs were also a credit card. But I am saying, you're one of the only people I know who's actually over here weaving people together around a public education system, whatever it looks like. I mean, how do we support you?
Well, just show up when we ask you to. That's all. You know, just show up when we ask you to. I love, I just recently got some major awards, and I didn't think it would ever happen. And the reason I say that is because I challenge folks to edify or notice the people that are really on the ground doing the work. There's people get awards all the time, and people get money and awards all the time, and really aren't doing the work. They really aren't doing the work. And so I was elated but scared at the same time, because I'm like, okay, I'm trying to be underground or be a part of somebody.
Grassroots.
Somebody says, we want to make you famous. I'm like, please don't. The families will find out about what we're doing, and they know we don't want to be famous. We just want to be able to do the work and not be blocked when we're trying to do the work. And so that's all we want. And when I say blocked, I don't mean the teachers and I keep saying teachers, the school system, because teachers are good. The system, you know, we have colleagues all over the country, in Virginia especially, who are facing a year in jail because the system decided they were so racist that they were going to come up with some kind of law or some kind of violation, because they went on the premises to make sure the kids, special needs kids and special ed kids, were taken care of. So you're talking about a racist Virginia where they're making up laws. Like, I used to remember in West Virginia that they would do that to put you in jail. So that same kind of attitude is still there in 2018. And so we have parents, and someone will be here, the one or two will be here for our event, who are facing jail time up to a year because they're trying to advocate for their families. We had somebody in Chicago who was banned from coming anywhere on the premises because she was so passionate about her children and other people's children. They were actually physically, her and her husband, harmed in a school board meeting. And people think, oh, you're just making it up. No, I'm not.
All that stuff's on camera.
No, I'm not.
Yeah.
Yes.
All that stuff's on camera.
Yes. And so, I'm getting emotional again. So
I hear you.
So I'm pretty compassionate. I can't stand the thing that's going on with the public schools. And I, what we try to do is separate ourselves from it. And our speech is, don't send your kids into a burning building. Don't fight for buildings. We have children over here who are being marginalized, pushed out, made to feel like they're nothing. Your children are doing well, but that's the issues. The issues aren't buildings. The issue is having an education, a good education for everyone, everyone. And when it comes to, and we will not participate in those things because I am not going to be, you know, we're not, I'm not going to be someone who goes to a school board and begs for little crumbs. They give you 3 minutes to talk. You know, it's controlling. They're controlling, and we buy into it. We buy into it.
If you just tuned in, this is KBOO Portland. We are positively revolting, and we've got a caller. Brian, what's going on?
Oh, I just want to say what an awesome guest. This has been such an enjoyable 40 minutes, and I'm surprised you don't have any other callers. Hey, I'd like to just make sure you repeat the date of the event. That sounds great. I wanted to just say, I graduated from the best public high school in the state of Washington, and I got in all kinds of trouble.
Wow.
And I never ever would have gotten out of a school like Portland in this day. Wow. And they had an alternative high school available for me that I don't even know if those things exist anymore, where I could just go, you know, once a week, meet with somebody, get some academic direction and kind of self-study, which I faked it through completely.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
But, you know, everything in my background kind of pointed to, it was impossible not to succeed. And I didn't realize that until I took a social class in college and realized, like, because it showed all the problems, you know, instead of looking at problems at the individual level, it looked at it at a social level and said, you know, look at how society's set up. I was set up to succeed. I wanted to just say thanks so much, you know, to the listeners out there. Where are you volunteering with kids? In, you know, if it's not the schools, is it in sports leagues? Is it at theater camps? Is it somewhere at church? Where are you volunteering with kids? Because your guest is so good about, we need to connect the community. And the way we connect the community is getting involved somewhere, and generally maybe outside your comfort zone. When my daughter was going through school, before my daughter was in school, I volunteered in schools. But after my daughter was in school, I volunteered in the public schools with her. And you said it, Lisa, what the schools need is more adults in a classroom.
Yes, yes.
The first time I volunteered as a professional, just to, my company had people go into public schools, and I went into it was Ockley Green Middle School at the time, and I went into a typing class, and you know, that was mostly a school of color, and this must have been probably 86, 87. Mm-hmm. I'm going in there, and you know, we're using computers at work. These kids are working on crappy typewriters that were, you know, nobody else would look at. And the one teacher had like 35 kids. And as soon as you bring another adult in, it's now 1 to 17. And you bring another one, and it's 1 to 10. And that's the kind of attention they need, and investment, like this woman said. I just want to just say thanks for everything you're doing. Oh, last thing I wanted to say, and your guest brought up such an important thing for us all to learn about. It's called mental models. And what she talked about, when the last thing she said before I got on, was how the school system set up a structure, and we just buy into it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And there's so much of what we do. I learned about mental models and the power of them in graduate school. We just operate our life through rote behavior because we just accept what's already going on. Instead of questioning, why is that? My last question, I'll leave this, is what has the government ever got right in a great way? And why do we trust the government as the primary educator and responsibility for educating our kids? I think the whole belief system that the government somehow, you know, we turn our kids over to the government and they're supposed to train them, when it's proven over a century, nowhere in the United States has that ever happened.
Yes.
but we keep believing somehow we're going to magically get it right.
All right. Thanks a ton, Brian.
You're welcome.
Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
And the number to call if you want to participate in this discussion is 503-231-8187. It is interesting to hear Brian talk about being set up to succeed.
Yes.
And we have talked about it's the education or incarceration. We've talked about that a lot. But, mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like in so many ways, it's more than lip service. And this is a place where people can get involved and make a real difference in individual people's
yes.
lives.
Yes.
This is Positively Revolting Talk Radio. We've got another 10 minutes or so left of the show. If you want to call, if you want to share a story, we would love to hear from you, 503-231-8187. But if you don't want to, that's cool. I never get tired of talking to Sheila, okay? I feel as if you should be writing a book, writing a memoir, because what you know is what's not getting out there on Facebook. I'm putting mm-hmm. that out, and you are on Facebook, but I'm saying there's something about us as a society that's I feel like somewhere, someone at a certain point made the decision to keep education away from the majority of people. Mm-hmm. And it has served a certain class of people in yes. the United States.
Yes.
As Brian was just saying, yes. People set up structures and then we all buy into it,
yes.
right? But I was also reading an interesting book recently where someone was asking, what is the literacy rate in the United States? It's only about half, right? Literacy is divided up into different levels now. I used to think either you could read or you can't, but mm-hmm. it's not like that. It's like either you can read a ballot or you can't. Maybe you can read your prescription bottle or you can read a bus schedule, but not a book. Mm-hmm. But I talk too much, and now I want to hear from Sheila. Sheila, what are your thoughts when you pick up the newspaper or look at the media? What do you wish more people knew? Putting that out.
Well, I wish people knew to understand what the media is, you know, we need to understand what that is and how dangerous it is. Facebook is dangerous. A lot of places where we are very dangerous. There's a lot of us with memory problems nowadays. Mental health is involved in that, and people can dispute that all they want to. We have young people who don't have memories because they're on some kind of technical mechanism all day long, or people don't talk to each other. I know that's cliche stuff, but we also need to understand the health part of having these mechanisms around the radiation towers, that's one of the things that's going to be talked about at our event. Is around, there's a woman, a lawyer, traveling around the country to let people know and kids know
the impact of our devices.
The impact of our devices around health.
So, Sheila, we now have a full slate of callers. Everyone waited until the end of the show.
Wow.
So let's try to cycle through these callers, and let's just go for the first person. Court, what's going on, man? Hey. You're on the air. All right, let's go for the next caller. Helen is on the air. Helen, what's going on?
Well, you know, I have realized from experience that when the kids leave school, do they interview the kids and see which teachers they had trouble with? Because in a previous research and with observation, I've noticed that there's usually in every school that has more than just one or two kids that drop out, there's usually one, two, or three teachers in a school who make it their job to target kids to get them out of school.
All right, Helen, I got to cut you short. We're running out of show. I definitely want to hear the answer to that. Thank you for calling.
And may I ask a question?
Okay, Helen, we've got a very few minutes, so keep it to 30 seconds.
When do they regularly meet?
Oh, okay, great. Thanks for calling, okay. Helen. Do you have regular meetings?
We don't have meetings for the summer. We just have our board meetings. But we're going to do most of our meetings now are home visits rather than bringing parents to a central spot. We're going to do home visits with families to see what they need and to help to support them in that way if they'll let us in their homes. We have this. We believe that we need to go where the parents are.
Right.
Because we're always trying to get them to come to us, and principals and folks in school systems are always asking me, how do we get the parents in? And I always say, go out to the parents.
So we went for this whole show without hardly anybody calling. Now we've got 6 minutes left, and we've got three callers. Let's cycle through them. And y'all, if you would take the time to call earlier in the show, you'd get more time. I'm not sure if we really answered that question about whether you keep a registry of teachers, but I think that when it comes down to the fact that you have to mediate with people one-on-one, I think everyone is well aware of some of who the problem teachers are. Let's go to the next caller. Brandon, what have you got on your mind today? And unfortunately, we have to make it quick.
Oh, that's okay. This is mostly about college tuition and the education system, and I feel that I think subconsciously people are forced after high school into either because of high tuition rates, people have to pick you're either going to go in the military and support the exploitation of other countries' resources, or you're going to be forced into the unskilled labor pool market, which I think is another ploy that corporations are using, because I think that the lack of regulation on college tuition is basically forcing people into one of two categories to kind of fuel the shareholder capitalist regime. And I don't know if that really makes that much sense, but to me it does, and it's just an observation that I had, and that's about it.
Thanks for calling, Brandon. You know, it's interesting, like, so Brandon just used like big crunchy words like an economist would, and yet I think he's right. I think that we as people who care about stuff in general, whether we see ourselves as activists or organizers or not, we have been distracted by the shiny toys, as you were saying. Sheila, what I heard you saying when I said, what should people know, is what I heard you saying was, watch out for those shiny toys, mm-hmm. because all those screens are doing something to us and we're not even tracking it at all, mm-hmm. Which is amazing. And it's true. All of a sudden, the colors dried up. Helen asked about regular meetings. Let's come back to Helen's point and talk about this event coming up. It is... I'm just going to go through the flyer because it's all here. Parents Across America... Passanar also is part of that. The theater company loved them. Mm-hmm. Portland Parents Union is holding this push back against school push out. It is Saturday, August 18th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. at Concordia University Hagen Campus Center. And so we have all the information on where that is. There's limited childcare. There's breakfast served, but you get your own lunch. Now, this is going to be, it's kind of an activism training, but it's also a trust circle where we get to know each other and we're sharing our knowledge with workshops and stuff. I'm going to be doing a workshop about citizen reporting, I believe. Mm-hmm. Tell us, are there any other workshops? Is there a workshop you wish you had that no one has volunteered for yet? Can we put out a call right now for more people? Do it now.
There's a workshop I wish I had that someone would let me know that we need it. there's the, of course, the parents are doing the workshops. There's a workshop around health and technology. There's a workshop around discipline disparities, the federal strategies that we do with NAACP Defense Fund around. Okay.
We have Court back on the line. Court, you got a court amount of time. What's going on, Court? Hey, Court.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Thanks for taking me. I know you have a short amount of time. I work in education. I've been a teacher for the past 15 years. And some of the bad... quote unquote, you know, bad teachers or whatever, this is my observation, is that there's this weird pressure. It's almost like a corporate pressure where you feel your students need to have good grades or else you'll be fired. There's like an invisible weird pressure.
Yeah, this happened to
me. The same way you were just talking very short and quick to the callers because you're running out of time. Teachers feel that like 9 months out of the year, all year long, and it does something to their emotions. It does something to how they communicate, and they talk to students in this short cross way when really all they need to do is just change their tone and talk like this and
Court,
just be
you're
nice
a wonderful
and
guy
calm.
And I wish you had called at 8:30, and I want to hear from you again, and I really appreciate your point. And we are closing out this show. This has been Positively Revolting. And Sheila Washington Warren, you are going to be connecting with her. You're going to go to Portland Parents Union on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Your website is
Well, it's PortlandParentUnion.com. Just come to my website.
Excellent.
PortlandParentUnion.com.
And the number, you can call 503-880-9145. Thank you so much for calling. Everyone, thank you to our engineer, Ray Bodwell, and stay tuned.
You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282 BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220 HR Hood River on 91.9 FM, and on the web at kboo.fm. Coming up next, the beloved community investigates the mysterious death of Thomas Merton.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with the requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, unless otherwise noted.
This is Cat Meow.
And this is Becky.
And we want to hang out with you.
The Development Committee will meet the third Wednesday of every month at 7 p.m.
We're traffic informed and food motivated. And we're seeking like-minded individuals who want to use their rad fundraising skills and talents to
support the station. Join us.
Happy birthday.
The Oregon Historical Society is featuring 50 years of KBOO. The exhibit was created to relay our history and demonstrate the importance of community radio, featuring archival photographs and ephemera collected from KBOO's 5 decades of broadcasting. The exhibit tells our story in our members' own collective words. Our online tour features highlights from the exhibit and companion audio clips to enrich visitors' experiences.